on us to take a rest. You know, kind of like a Sabbath, but this was extended beyond just one day a week. You know, take a rest, to be still, to wait on Him. A church can get busy, can it? And it can keep us busy. And many times in our busyness, our awareness of God's presence can kind of dull. We don't see and hear God clearly. Well, that season of being still and waiting has turned into a season now of getting busy and going to work. It's like the Lord said, go ahead and go to work and I'll bless it. So, what have we done? We've gotten busy and we've gotten to work. So these last 2 weeks, I felt led to pause in my preaching and let the Psalms speak to us. I wanted to kind of take the spiritual foot off the spiritual accelerator of replanting for a couple of weeks. We worked hard, church. We're working hard. Now, let's breathe in the Psalms and rest. The word in Psalm 32 last week was Selah, S-E-L-A-H. It's a separating word. Nobody really knows what it means. It's just an ancient word that's there. So we're left to try to fill in the blank, so to speak. And most very smart scholars say that that probably is a pause or a rest. You musicians, we know that point in a song where it's time for a rest, or for vocalists, it's time for a breath. Selah. Rest. Breathe. Selah. Rest. Stop wrestling. Rest. Stop worrying. Breathe. Today. Tomorrow has worries of its own. But now, we rest. Selah. Many times we encourage one another to have eyes to see what God is doing. To have ears to hear what He is saying to our hearts. In Psalm 33, it's not our eyes that the psalmist is talking about. It's not our ears that the psalmist is talking about. It's not us that are the focus, it's God. It's His ears, it's His eyes that the psalmist, I believe, wants to call attention to. The psalmist tells us that God is the one in this psalm who hears and who sees. God is listening and seeing. It's God's ears and God's eyes that are at work. So what does God hear in this psalm? What are the ears of God hearing? Verse 1, God is hearing us singing for joy to Him. God is hearing us praising Him. Verse 2, God is hearing the melodies and harmonies that we create with our voices and with our instruments, the making of music. That's what God is hearing. God is hearing us singing new songs to Him. Verse 3 tells us that God is hearing us seeking to play our instruments skillfully. Verse 4 tells us that he hears the truth and trustworthiness of his word spoken and proclaimed and taught. He hears his own words, the truth of them, the trustworthiness of his words. Verse 5, what does God hear? He hears all that is just and good that fills the earth. Today, church, the Lord is listening. He is present, and we can know that. It's almost like in my mind I have this vision of this big ear. It's just kind of moving around. It makes its way around us and in front of us and behind us and down the aisle and in between the pews as if it's God's ear listening. And when God's ear comes near to us, when God's ear comes near to me, what does he hear of me? What does he hear me saying? What does he hear me singing? What melody or harmony does he hear coming out of my mouth? His ears are listening today. And the psalmist tells us what it is that his ears are listening for. He's listening for praise and for music and melody. He's listening for truth and goodness and justness. He's listening. We know the Lord is present. If you think back, if you were here during the spiritual renewal weekend that we shared together, Pastor John Butler was telling us that God is present. God is not waiting for us to invite him to come in. He is present. He is already here before we ever step foot into this room. It's not that God's Spirit occupies this space as like the Holy of Holies. It's just that when we enter in, God's Spirit is here and is moving in our midst. God is present. And I remember something else that John said. God desires to be present with his people. And unless Ichabod, that old ancient curse of a word that says that God's Spirit has left the building. And there was actually a place where that word was scribbled on the wall by the finger of God. Ichabod. God's Spirit has left. And unless Ichabod is written on the wall here, God is present. I'm telling you, there's no Ichabod written on these walls. God's Spirit is present. He is here. And if he is here and present, we can know that he is listening to us. If his ear was to scoot up next to where you and I are right now, what would he hear? He's listening. He's listening. But he's not just listening. It's not just his ears that are at work, though they are. It's also his eyes. And so what does the Lord see? What do his eyes see? Verse 13 tells us he sees the whole human race. You know, some people believe that God just handpicks a special few people out of all of the human race. God has chosen just a few very special people to taste of his grace and goodness. The chosen, the elect. And what in the world of all the rest of us? This tells me right here that God's eye sees everybody. He's created you, and he's created me. And God chose a people long time ago. Out of all the nations of the world, out of all the peoples of the world that the Lord saw, do you know who he chose? He chose a small, peculiar, annoying people. Stubborn, with questions and doubts galore, with an unwillingness to move or go or follow or a little people, a little difficult people. This is who God chose. He did not choose them to just simply be the receivers of all of the goodness and grace and the promises of God as if they are just a little nation of hoarders. But God chose them to be a blessing. He blessed them so that they then would bless. He chose a people through which he would reveal himself. He chose a people through which he would come as Emmanuel, God in the flesh, so that then all the world would know God in bodily form, the fullness of God in human form, Jesus Christ himself. The fact of the matter is, in God's choosing, God chooses for a purpose. He doesn't choose just to bless. He chooses for a purpose. Some of us have been chosen for God's purpose, but it's not that he leaves everybody else out. God has chosen you today for his purpose. And so what is it that God would choose you for? Maybe God would speak your name and speak a particular kind of calling on your life. Maybe even now at your age, maybe even now where you are, God is saying, I want you for my purposes. I want you to give yourself fully to me so that I can take all of your life and use it for my purposes. You may not know yet, child, what it is I want you to do, but just say yes to me. God's eye sees all of humanity, and God's eyes see us today. And so if my mind going to work here, I see this eyeball. It's kind of roaming around the room, kind of around us and in front of us, behind us, in and out of the aisles and pews. He's got his eye on you and me. Not because, some kind of creepy thing, but because he knows us and loves us. His eye is on us. He observes, verse 14, all who live on the earth. He is paying attention to us and to the human race. All who live, verse 15, what does he see? He sees our hearts that he created. And listen, it says that he, because he sees our hearts that he created, it says that he understands us. And you may not feel like anybody understands you. Nobody's even trying to understand you. Every time you talk, somebody talks over you. Every time you say something, they dismiss it. But I want to tell you, one of the things that we can know about God's eyes, that he sees you, and he sees you in a way that he understands you because he knows your heart. And how can God know your heart? Because he made you. And he knows you. And he loves you. And there's not a thing that you can do to change that. Go ahead, be as wretched as you want to be. God sees you. He knows you. He understands you because he made you. That's what he sees. Verse 16 and 17 kind of push back on us a little bit. Why? Because what we look at and what we see, the psalmist says, we look to armies and horses to save us and give us victory. But that's not what the Lord looks for. The Lord watches out for those, verse 18, who respect and rely on him. Not on armies, not on war machines, not on power, not on money, but on those who respect and rely on him. And the Lord is looking to see today if we will respect and rely on him. Verse 19, it says, the Lord rescues and keeps alive those who respect and rely on him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome about our God? That he has ears and eyes that work? And that are working, that he sees and hears us today. Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome. When we know that God's ears and eyes are active and working, when we know that it's not on us to save ourselves, to save our families, to save our nation, to save our earth, to keep it spinning and going and thriving, when we know and believe that God is living and active with ears and eyes that are working, then the psalmist gives voice to how it is that we respond to that God. Verse 20 and 21 and 22. Look back there. What does it say? It says, "We then, Lord, because you have ears that are listening and eyes that are seeing, you know our hearts and you understand us because you made us. God, because that is true," then verse 20, "we put our hope in you." Yes, we turn to others for help and advice and treatment. Yes, for sure. But all of those cannot see us as God does. And so, God, we put our hope in you, Lord. You are our help and our shield. Verse 21, what does it say? In you, our hearts, what? Rejoice. For we trust in your holy name. And verse 22, let your unfailing love then surround us, Lord. For our hope is in you. You might be in a pattern right now of working your nails to the bone. Today, I can't speak about tomorrow. But today, rest in the Lord. You might have been fighting for you and your family's survival. Right now, today, be still before the Lord. You might be exhausted from the weight of your grief. You don't have to say anything else to the Lord. He sees you and knows you and understands. Why? How could he? Because he made you. And he's near you. You don't have to say anything else to him. He's heard you. The Lord has heard you, and he has seen you, and he knows your heart that he created. And so rest. Breathe. Selah. Thank you for your word, Lord, that we hear today. Thank you for your loving and caring and powerful works in us and around us, Lord, that we see today. And thank you, Lord, that you are a God that is fully alive and involved in our lives and in our world. That you have ears that hear and you have eyes that see. And they work perfectly. Lord, may we be encouraged and edified, built up, Lord, by your word today. May the truth of it, may the trustworthiness of your word, may it bring about goodness and justice in our lives, in us and through us and in our world, Lord. Thank you so much for this time to be together, this time to be in your presence, this time to praise you and to know that you hear our praise, this time to bow before you and pray before you and know that you see us and you see our hearts and you know us and you understand us because you made us. Lord, as we prepare ourselves to go from this place today, as we feel compelled, Lord, to respond to you and to your Holy Spirit, Lord, would you continue to lead us and prompt us, Lord? And might we understand Lord, what it is that you're calling on us to do. We may not see the big picture fully. We may only see the next step. But Lord, if you show us that next step, might we be faithful and obedient to take it and to know that you're with us. So Lord, may we respond to you today in faithfulness and in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing a kind of a closing song.